guided by a master plan for complete domination of the Earth.
I hope you will like it.
Hello and welcome to Paranormal Hotline. My name is Michael and I'm joined by Kaylee.
Hello.
And this week we'll be talking about a creature that strikes fear into the hearts of men and beasts alike. It can kill you in a bunch of ways, from biting you to poisoning you. It can spit highly corrosive acid, or it can just electrocute you to death.
I still have no idea what this is. You have not told me yet.
It's a worm. It's a big red worm.
Oh, sick.
It's the Mongolian debt worm.
This was in SpongeBob, wasn't it?
No, that was the Alaskan bullworm.
Ah, okay.
Funny enough, I know a man who's constantly off his head on drugs who goes by Alaskan bullworm. No, I don't know. I think someone told him it was some kind of like tequila worm.
Yeah.
But like he goes by that name. But as always, guys, you can always send in topics for us to cover or sightings or encounters you've had and anything else you think that we might find cool over on Twitter at ParanormalHL, or you can email us at ParanormalHotlinePodcast@gmail.com.
Yeah.
Also, we have a new Patreon member, Julia. So thank you so much, Julia, and it really means a lot to us. Anyway, if anyone else would like to support us, you can do so at patreon.com/paranormalhotline. But yeah, Julia is getting added to Discord and stuff now, so that's going to be fun.
Yes, the Discord.
But dude, you recently watched Tremors, right?
I did, actually, yeah.
It's a movie series I love, and I've been watching them since I was a kid. And I did a rewatch recently of all of them, because there's like 7 or 8 now.
Yeah, I've only seen the first
one. That's not even counting the TV show.
God damn.
It's fantastic. Like, the entire premise of it is great. But the movies after the third one are not so great. And even the third one is just like, I'm only watching it because of the worm.
I enjoyed the first one, but it definitely had like an Eight-Legged Freaks vibe about it.
You should watch the second one. It's definitely a lot funnier, and the creatures just get weirder and weirder. Like, the third one is when they bring in the ass blasters.
Oh, sweet. Does it all take place in the one area?
Yes.
I would not live there.
Three of them take place in the one area. The fourth one takes place in that area during cowboy times.
Ooh.
Cowboy times. Then it goes Mexico, Africa, Antarctica, and then an island just full of like little two-legged ones. But it's like, it's something like pop culture that I really like is Tremors, because I just like the idea of these giant underground worms burrowing towards people.
Yeah, I didn't think it would be as scary as it was, but it was really scary in that film. Like, terrifying concept.
Tense.
Yeah.
Another movie that had a weirdly big influence on the Mongolian debt worm was Dune.
Yeah.
Have you seen the new one?
Dune? No, I haven't seen the new one yet.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll be mentioning something from that and I'll explain it as I go, but it's not like plot related or anything.
Yeah, no worries.
But the Mongolian debt worm is something that like I've heard about and you've heard about it too. Like, the Alaskan bullworm is basically meant to be, like in SpongeBob, it's basically meant to be like the Mongolian death worm.
Oh, okay, Mongolian death worm. No, I didn't know that was actually a thing. I just knew the SpongeBob rendition of it.
One thing, actually, I know I keep going on about Tremors, but you know in SpongeBob when they kill that by driving it off a cliff?
Yeah.
Is that not how it ends in Tremors?
It is, definitely.
But, like, because of watching all those movies, I've had killer worms on the brain. Thankfully, not literally. But
ew, you have killer worm brains. You've got killer brain worms.
So I started looking into worm cryptids, and that brought me to the Mongolian debt worm. But weirdly enough, there's actually a few. But the Mongolian debt worm is the only one whose name I could pronounce.
This is really funny. So there's more than one giant killer worm.
There's one that lives in a lake in like Norway or something, and the story behind it was a girl was told if she puts a ring in a chest and then puts a snake on top of it, the ring will grow. And she forgot about it and came back a few months later and the snake had gotten bigger instead, and it was so big it was about to break out of the box, so she just yeets the box into a lake.
Oh, so that's a snake, not a worm, though.
It becomes a worm basically because it lives in the water and it gets really soggy.
Like a baguette.
Pretty much. But just to give you like an idea of what the Mongolian debt worm is, it's basically a worm, a giant red worm. Now, it does have a Mongolian name, but again, I would butcher it so badly it's not worth trying, because I practiced trying to say it.
Would you, you know the way in tequila you get like a worm at the end of the bottle?
Oh, you cannot do that with the Mongolian debt worm. Not a chance. Okay. And I'll get to why in a second. But its name, its Mongolian name translates to cow intestine worm because it looks like a giant cow intestine. But there are people living in and around the Gobi Desert that have a genuine fear of this thing. There's an entire life cycle mapped out, and there's been a bunch of expeditions looking for the creature, and they use some absolutely insane tactics to try and find it. But just to give you an idea of its backstory a bit and what it looks like and what it can do. So it came to attention in places like England and America, like the Western world, in the late 20s. An explorer named Roy Andrews, who was very highly thought of and even became the director of the American Museum of Natural History, he wrote a book called On the Trail of Ancient Man, and this book was basically about the theory that humans came from Asia and spread around the world from there. Although now it's like mostly accepted people came from Africa.
Yeah, everybody originated from Africa.
But while he was like researching for this book, he was going through Asia and like pretty much anywhere he could to try and find like history of humanity.
Yeah.
And he got to the Gobi Desert, and he was talking to some Mongolians. He was talking to some locals and kept hearing stories about a creature in the desert that was incredibly deadly to anyone or anything it came across. He even got a description of the creature from the Prime Minister of Mongolia, who said it was about 2 feet long and had no head or legs, and it was so poisonous that merely to touch it means instant death. So, okay. Like, he gave it a great description, but he also described it as looking like a sausage, which kind of kills the mood a bit.
I mean, like, he's not wrong. But 2 feet is not that long. I was expecting, like, 2 feet.
Well, the description he gave, but there was other, like, descriptions given that said it goes up to 6 feet.
Okay. That's still not massive.
Which is a bit scarier.
I mean, is it how thick is it? What are we talking about girth here?
Apparently it's girthy. Like, it's about as thick as a human leg if it's 6 feet.
That's not that bad, though. There's bigger snakes in the world.
Oh, yeah, but they can't do what the Mongolian deadworm. This thing lives up to the name deadworm.
Please tell me it, like, flies or something. It just flaps either side of its worm.
One of the worms I found about is a flying worm in, like, someplace in America that has 3 jaws and it has its eye inside its mouth and it flies around and attacks people.
I want to hear about that worm.
There wasn't much on it. It was just reported twice, and then people were like, those people were clearly mental. Let's forget about it and never mention it again.
Yeah, but it's weird that it happened twice, right?
If I had a nickel for every 3-jawed one-eyed worm that attacked me,
I'd have 2 nickels.
I'd only have 2, but it'd still be weird.
It's still weird that it happened twice.
But, like, yeah, there's been no specimens found. There's not even been any pictures taken of the worm, at least not that we know of, but I'll get to that in a second. I can kind of understand why nobody has found it, though. It's meant to be, like, on average, 2 feet, like, 60 centimeters long, and the Gobi Desert is 1.3 million square kilometers.
Jesus. Okay.
So, and the creature itself is meant to be pretty rare, so, like, it's going to be hard to find.
Does it, like, live in the sand?
Yes.
Okay.
So it lives underground, although it does apparently come up to the surface in June and July when it's wetter, like, as wet as you can get in a desert. But, like, I don't like the idea of a worm that can get to 6 feet long and do the shit this thing can.
What's it do?
Like, what
you
can
still haven't said
do?
Anything. You just said it's a big worm so far.
It has an insane amount of powers for an itty-bitty worm.
Okay.
So it's extremely venomous to the point that if you touch off it, it'll pretty much you'll have time to realize you're in pain right as you die.
Oh, God.
It can electrocute you like an electric eel, which, by the way, I was watching videos on electric eels to get a better idea of how dangerous a shock off one of these things could be.
Yeah.
And it just totally reaffirmed my aggressive hatred of things that live in the ocean. And now, because of the Mongolian deadworm, I also hate things that live in the opposite of water, sand.
You hate sand.
You don't even have to. It's rough, it's coarse, and it gets everywhere. You don't even have to touch the dead worm to die. It can spit extremely corrosive venom at you.
What?
That can burn through skin and clothing. And since the worms are down low, it'll aim for the ankle, so you can't run away.
What?
But I know what you're thinking here now. Why would a worm need to hunt something as big as a person? Or apparently their favorite food, camel.
Yeah, I was thinking there's mammals in the deserts.
Yeah, there's mice and lizards and shit it could eat.
Yeah.
Well, it's apparently the reason it goes for, like, larger creatures like humans and horse and camels is because once it, like, they're down and it attacks the throat and the body to kill them, it crawls inside to lay its eggs so the baby worms can eat their way out. It's gross as hell. Like, the literal only reason for them to hunt large things is to lay unholy spawn in the carcass. I'm pretty sure this is where Alien came from, with the corrosive acid and impregnating.
Man, you keep just telling me about these horrible cryptids from around the world that keep going inside of human bodies and I hate it.
Like what?
Like the fucking kappa.
The kappa doesn't go into your body. It takes stuff out of your
butt. Yeah, but it has to go in there to get it out.
But stuff comes out of your butt every day.
Yeah, but I don't reach in and pull it out.
You've never been constipated. Do you watch Survivor?
No.
There's a woman in one season called Shambo who you would absolutely love. And she was told one day, like, she was so backed up. They were talking about taking her out of the game and sending her to hospital. And she was like, is there anything I could do? And the guy, like, the medic just goes, I don't know, you could take a stick and go into the woods and, like, scrape it out. And she's like, I'll be back in 5 minutes.
Jesus Christ. Oh, my God, that's awful.
She stayed in the game.
That's bad.
But, yeah, like, these worms will just crawl inside things that it's killed. Stop sending me Mongolian deadworm porn.
There's so much of it. I can't believe how much I'm finding. Why is this a trend?
Stop sending me this. Oh, I like that one. But anyway, like I said, they only really come out in June, July when it's not as dry, but they don't really seem to need that much moisture. And this is kind of unusual for worms, but it's not unheard of. There are sandworms in some countries like Australia, because of course it's Australia.
Yeah.
And basically they can grow up to 6 feet long as well. These are actual sandworms that can do this. So it doesn't rule out that, like, it's a good evidence that the Mongolian deadworm isn't just fabricated.
Or like it could have existed back in the 20s and gone extinct.
Well, see, there's been a lot of expeditions since the 20s. When I was reading about people who've gone looking for it, trying to find it during these expeditions, I found some things that just need to be talked about.
Okay, sweet.
So you said you haven't seen Dune. And if you or anyone listening haven't seen it, they'll most likely still recognize the giant sandworms in it. Like, there seemed to be, like, in every poster, even the old ones, all had the giant sandworm.
I don't remember that.
What?
No, I really don't know anything about Dune at all.
Look up Dune. Any poster will have the giant sandworm.
There's no sandworm in any of these. Oh, wait, there's one. Jesus, that's big. That's kind of like the one from SpongeBob.
It is. That's what the one in SpongeBob is based on. There's a thing in the... So when you're crossing the sand in the movie Dune, you have to, like, walk irregularly, because if they hear repeated patterns on the ground, they'll come and eat you. Kind of like in Tremors.
Oh, okay.
So what this guy... who was on an expedition in the 90s. Now, his name was Ivan. He was a cryptozoologist. He was Czech. And he had the idea that since the worms traveled underground, and I don't know how I forgot to mention this earlier, actually, because we were talking about Tremors. But you know when Tremors, when the worms are moving, you see, like, the dirt moving above them?
Yeah.
That's how the Mongolian dead worms hunt.
Jesus.
But he was like, okay, these things are clearly listening to vibrations in the ground if they're traveling. They have no eyes, they have no head, they just have a mouth on one end. So he decided to make a thumper out of dune. Now, what a thumper is basically a pipe with a piston inside of it that just constantly hits the ground and makes noise. So he built these weird dune contraptions and put them all over the desert that he could get to. And it's just like, if there's anything in this desert, this will definitely draw it out. Nothing happened. But I just love that he was like, okay, how do we find these worms? Sci-fi. Sci-fi is the answer here.
So these are very professional exhibitions.
He was a cryptozoologist. That means he's... we're technically cryptozoologists.
Not really. I mean, we've never gone hunting a cryptid, have we? Not yet.
We've gone out in Dublin. But yeah, there's been expeditions to find the Mongolian deadworm as recently as 2013. And I got really excited for a minute because I found out about one that was done in 2009 by TV3. And I was like, there's no way. And I looked into it. And the guy who made... have you seen Dark Tourist on Netflix?
Yes, I have.
The guy who made that went out into the Gobi Desert to find the Mongolian deadworm.
What?
It turns out the TV3 was the New Zealand version. But they sent him out to the desert and he went looking for the Mongolian deadworm. And he, like, left cameras overnight and everything to try and find it.
Did he find anything?
No, but do you know who's apparently did find something? The Russian government. Apparently they...
I was not expecting that.
In, like, I think it was the 70s or 80s, they said that they found one and they, like, sent it back to some Russian archive museum thing and it just got misplaced and no one knows where the hell it is.
Oh, come on. Jeez.
Yeah, the Mongolian deadworm, like, with all the weird, cool stuff it can do, like, it's one of the few cryptids I hope is real, but if it is, I don't want one within 1,000 miles of me.
I don't know, it's kind of cool. I definitely wouldn't want to go near it. But maybe looking at behind a pane of glass.
If it rubs up against you, you get blood filled. Oh, I didn't tell you about one of the mental things that happened when the guys that went looking for this.
What happened?
it's absolutely brilliant. Basically, he was talking to some guy and he was getting a description of the worm that the man had saw, because a bunch of people claim to have seen these. And when asked for a description, they all gave pretty much similar, like, descriptions. It is a worm, after all.
Yeah, yeah.
But they all do mention that it is bright red. Like, that's why it's called in Mongolian the cow's intestine, because it looks like an intestine. It's so red. But he was talking to one, and he was talking to the man went off to do something, and he left the, like, explorer with the wife.
Yeah.
And the wife started saying to him, "I sense death in your journey. You need to stop." And he was like, "What?" She's like, "I sense death." He's like, "Okay, look, I'm tired. Can I go to sleep?" And she was like, "You can stay in this yurt." And he said he woke up in the middle of the night to find blood-filled, like, boils all over his back.
Oh, my God.
And apparently he once said to him, she was like, "The worms were underneath you last night. That's, like, the venom that's doing that to you." And he was just like, I didn't sleep on the ground.
Oh, my God. No, don't like that.
Because if they rub up, like, supposedly, like, they would be so poisonous that even through the ground, just the, like, toxicity coming off of them was enough to poison him a bit.
Jeez.
When I was going through this, though, it was a lot of stuff about people who live in, like, isolated villages believe in it, whereas people in, like, massive cities in Mongolia, it would be like, "I didn't even know that was a thing. What are you on about?"
And are there many, like, reported sightings of it?
Pretty much every village.
Wow. Okay, that's
but
crazy.
The problem there, you see, is that there are other creatures in the desert, and if the worm isn't real, what could it be? And the common theory is that it's a sand boa. And when some people who claim to have seen the worm were shown a sand boa that was killed, like, the people didn't say, "Hey, look at this sand boa." They were like, "We killed this thing in the desert." And they were all like, "Oh, that's the Mongolian death worm."
Oh.
And the people that, like, were showing them the snake expected them to say this, because they had even said that, like, "We don't really trust their testimony. We kind of think they're just after a bit of attention." So when these guys were like, "Okay, we'll just show them this snake and see what they say." And they were all like, "That's the dead worm."
What was the snake called? I'm going to Google it.
A sand boa. They're actually kind of cute.
Oh, they are cute. It's just a snake then. It's not red at all.
Yeah, that's why they were like, "Yeah, we don't believe these people."
It does have a derpy looking face though. Hold on, let me send you a picture of the snake's face. It's like a worm with a frog's head.
I was thinking it looks like it has a duck's bill, but yeah, I can totally see a frog. And right above that frog, I can see a Mongolian death worm with, like, triple G tits. Yeah. But yeah, I just love the idea that there's this thing, like, there's this worm. Okay, I'm sorry. A picture of the sand boa just came up on Google for me, and I need to show you this.
Oh my God, is it this one? Oh my God, please tell me it's this one.
Want to try making edibles, but you're not sure where to start? Or you love to experiment in the kitchen, but you could use some inspiration? Join me, Marge, host of Bite Me, the show about edibles. I help cooks make great edibles at home. Each episode, I walk listeners through a cannabis edibles recipe that I've tested in my own kitchen. Or learn alongside me as I interview professional chefs, culinary cannabis experts, and edibles enthusiasts. Whether you're seasoned or just getting into edibles, there's always more to learn about making great edibles at home. Tune in for fun and informative episodes every Thursday on your favorite podcasting app or at bitemepodcast.com. And stay high, friends.
Oh, no, that's not it. Is this one?
Oh, my stomach hurts from laughing at its face. It looks like if somebody guessed what a snake looks like, like, from memory.
It looks like if you got, like, a 4-year-old to draw a snake and then made it real.
It looks so stupid.
I have to be honest. If someone said to me, "I've killed a Mongolian death worm," and they showed me that, I'd punch them in the face.
I also found this recipe for roasted Mongolian death worm.
Okay, what's the best ingredient in there?
Spaghetti.
This link says eat the dead.
Yeah.
I love it. I absolutely love it. I kind of want one of these worms as a pet, but I'd, like, be terrified it would get out one day and just kill me.
God, no, I wouldn't want any of this near me. The snake? I'm partially convinced to buy a snake now, because that snake is adorable.
That is not adorable.
Derpy little snake.
That's the dumbest looking animal I've ever seen.
It literally looks like a noodle with googly eyes on it.
Oh my god, that's perfect. I think they're dead. I think they are venomous. Oh no, it's a boa. Yeah. It seems like this worm is just overkill. If you touch it, you get electrocuted. Instant death by poison.
Yeah, I mean, it seems
turn
like
around,
it's like
spit acid in your face.
Yeah. I mean, has there ever been any recorded deaths from one?
Yes and no. Like, a lot of people have found fucked up bodies near the edge of the desert of camels. Like, the camel one is, I think I can explain that. Like, I think I have an idea. I didn't read this anywhere, but it sounds like it's possible.
Yeah.
Is, you know, where bodies bloat when they die?
Yeah.
Camel stomach like that, bloated, you know? Exploded, and people were just like, something burst out of it.
Yeah.
It's not impossible for the same thing to happen to a person.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I don't know. It's just weird. What do you think? You've been researching it. You think it's real?
I don't know, because there's a lot about the Mongolian death worm that's either hearsay or it's thought to be just pure bullshit.
Yeah.
But there's been stories in the region about the worm for a good few hundred years. And I mean, the platypus exists.
Yeah. They have the platypus.
So an electric
though,
venomous
you know?
Worm isn't out of the question. Yeah, but like the platypus was only found like what, 80 years ago?
Yeah. And when they wrote about it, most people didn't believe it was real. Because it's like a toxic mammal that lays eggs and has a duck beak. Can understand why no one would believe that.
Like, when you describe the platypus like that, an electric venomous worm isn't out of the question. I mean, we have electric eels.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, you're not wrong. Could be just going extinct. I mean, yeah.
And like, it's going extinct. It's not super big. And it's in an area that's like constantly shifting, changing like the entire area. I want it to be real. I want the world to be that little bit more terrifying.
All I'm getting from this is that we should do a cryptid hunt. Let's go full mountain monsters and go and try and find the cryptid.
What I was thinking earlier is, like, people are kind of like, oh, that's ridiculous. These are just folk tales and stuff. Like, nobody's actually seen the Mongolian death worm.
Yeah.
But, like, we know people. We know people in our families each that have said, oh, I've seen, like, the banshee, or I've heard the banshee, yeah. Or I've seen the, like, what was it? The dog?
Shook. The black dog Shook.
Sorry, I was thinking of the one from Harry Potter and I was like, the Grimm, that's not
it,
right.
It is the Grimm as well. It can be called the Grimm.
It's one of those things where like we know people in our lives who are like, I've seen the banshee, I've heard the banshee, and we're just like, these stupid people and their worm.
Yeah, I know, yeah. But like, when someone says they see the banshee, you're kind of just take it with a pinch of salt as well, you know?
Yeah, until one of their family members drops dead.
Yeah, that's
day.
The scary part. Whenever someone says they've heard the banshee.
Although, have you ever heard someone say that they heard the banshee before a family member died?
No, I don't think so. I don't know anyone who's heard the banshee in recent years, though. Only like 50 years ago or something like that.
Sorry.
You all right?
I tried to take a drink of water and it went down the wrong way.
Die, bitch.
I hear screaming. It's the banshee. But yeah, what about you? Have I convinced you of the Mongolian death worm?
You know, I'm kind of still like, there's like a maybe 5% chance there's something. Even that's a bit high. Bit lower than that. Maybe like 2%.
Do you know what I just thought of that kind of ruins it for me?
What?
If this thing existed, there's no way we wouldn't have eaten it yet. Like, if we eat fucking like puffer fish, and humans as a species eat everything they can get their hands on.
Yeah, because food is good.
I was just thinking of the thing. It was like, God bless the man who discovered which fungus was edible. It was like, this one's good. This one made Brian see for God for a week. This one's bad. But yeah, guys, there's not a whole lot on the Mongolian death worm, like I said, that isn't kind of hearsay or more than likely
it's definitely
bullshit.
Definitely influenced a lot of culture, though, you know?
See, that's just it. I don't know if Dune was in any way influenced. Actually, yeah, I don't know if Dune was in any way influenced by the Mongolian death worm, and I highly doubt Tremors was, because I know a lot about that movie, and it was originally named Land Sharks.
Okay, fair. But, so you think they just came up with these concepts separate? Because there's like sandworms are in other pop culture too, like Beetlejuice has them, and I know a few other things about sandworms.
Yeah, the one in Beetlejuice is a reference to Dune, though.
Oh, yeah. And SpongeBob and stuff. I mean, they're probably all references to Dune.
Yeah, because Dune is like one of those pillars of sci-fi.
Yeah.
But there is something that was influenced by this, actually. So the original man I was talking about earlier, Roy Andrews, he influenced a few things, because on that expedition where he first heard about the Mongolian death worm, that's where they found the first ever preserved dinosaur eggs.
Oh, really?
And
that's
he's
cool.
Also believed to be the inspiration for Indiana Jones.
Ah.
Although apparently there's been like a few people who are like, I was the inspiration for Indiana Jones, and Lucas and all of them were like, no, it was a composite of a few people.
Do you think the first person who ever found preserved dinosaur eggs was like, I wonder if I can hatch these?
I'm just thinking of them like standing in a fire trying to be the fucking Khaleesi. If I found a dinosaur egg, I'd definitely try and hatch it. I'd put it in the microwave or something and see if I could bring it back to life.
Put it in a microwave? No, I could picture you sitting on it like a hen.
So, yeah, I would do that. I just get like, do you know those big round dog bits?
Yeah. You just sit in it playing Halo and sitting
on my egg. Did you ever get those toys as a kid? The like dinosaur eggs, they were fucking massive. Like these things were about the size of a 2-liter bottle.
No.
I got one when I was young and I didn't know because my dad had ripped off the label. He thought he was being funny. He was like, I found a dinosaur egg you can have.
Oh God.
And when you opened it inside, there was all like sweets and stuff inside.
Yeah.
I had it for about five minutes and I dropped it. And I was like emotionally destroyed because I thought I had killed this one, like the only dinosaur.
My God, so then, the moral of the story is you should not be given dinosaur eggs to sit on.
Well, to be fair, I did eat like the sweets when I like went to lift up the egg and I was like, oh, thank God.
You had eaten the world's saddest omelet as you crack your dinosaur egg into a pan.
It'd be like, do you know in Simpsons when he accidentally boils his lobster when he's trying to give it a bat and he's yeah. just crying while he's eating it. That's me, the fucking egg.
You eating an omelet. Yep, that's exactly it.
Rexy would have wanted it this way.
That's so dumb. How did we go from worms to you mourning a dinosaur?
But yeah, guys, hopefully you enjoyed that, and that's all for this week. And again, guys, if you ever want to like have a talk, if you ever want us to cover a topic or like just tell us about an encounter, a sighting of any creature you had, you can always email us or message us on Twitter, or if you're a member of our Patreon, you can just message us on Discord. But other than that, have a good week.
Bye, guys.